Tonight, as our custom is, I'll bring you a word from God. And I will do that every day. You know, as believers, we must know how to intentionally hold fast to what really matters. We're in a world where, you know, things just change every now and then. And we must know how to hold fast to what really matters. And for many of us in this generation, you know, upcoming, growing up, I am too. You have to battle for your focus. Battle for it intentionally. To ensure that you don't get distracted so easy. I just shared something an elderly minister said to me. He's a retired Orthodox minister, but a Bible scholar. I put it out on Facebook. I think I shared it with your leader at some point. And you know, we're talking generally about, you know, Bible scholarship, of which, you know, I have a lot of interest, you know, and all that. So he said that, he just made a comment. He said, there are, because, and that's, sometimes you can be studying scriptures for knowledge. To be able to preach, to be able to have knowledge, and that's all. You're not seeking for anything that affects your devotion. So he said, there are many Bible scholars, this is how he said it, and theologians, who no longer read the Bible, rather they read the works of others so that they can, you know, criticize it, review it, and all that. They read less of the Bible than they read the works of others. Now, he's not saying you don't read people's works, he's just saying that the real intent is, let me, you know, check this and study it and find out, you know, what I can do about it. He said, and very little time or no time to be in a local assembly. I'm going to take it one by one. He said, to reach the lost, to disciple people, to cast out demons, and to pray for others. He said, such people no longer study scriptures for devotion. It's just for the academic content. You know, I think, and that may look a bit far-fetched for some of us because you may wonder, I'm not into Bible scholarship in that sense. But you know, you can really be in the ministry and you can be serving God out of competition. And you're looking at who are we up against. I remember a younger minister said this years ago. And when the fellow said that, I told myself, I can't cancel this kind of person again. No matter, he said, if the Lord appears to me, and he says, Shegun, you are going to see that person. I said, Lord, bid me to stay in my house. The guy said, he mentioned two showbiz stars. He said, we are age mates. Look at what they have achieved with their lives. He's a pastor. He said, look at what they have achieved with their lives. So I look at myself. What can I do? You know, and I said to myself, no amount of sermons can change this person. For a Christian to sit down and compare himself as a preacher to showbiz celebrities, that one needs more than deliverance. The way it even came to your mind is the spectacle there. What must have happened? And that can even creep into our hearts before we know it. You know, we are pursuing vanities. No, so the man said that, and I now added it. I said, sir, but over the years, it was in a forum, so I said, over the years, I have adopted a very simple principle when it comes to Bible theology. And I know very well because I have a very strong, you know, thrust for academic work and Bible scholarship generally. Recently, somebody asked me, he's a young professor, so he asked me, he's younger than I am, I meant. So he said, that usually when people go into scholarship study, they discover new things they've never seen before, that they usually have crises of the faith. And I ask them, I say, Chris, have you ever had crisis in the faith? I said, no. I said, not even, I said, no. I said, I wasn't studying out of curiosity. I have gotten to what I have believed, whom I have believed. I said, no, it's not, we're not trying to, say, no, it's not, and my studying God's word is primarily for devotion. I said, that's strange. I said, yeah. Because he knows how many things, you know, we get in together and all that. So I told this group, I said, look, there are three tests I've run over the years. And I'm saying about 20 years now or more. So number one, if there's any knowledge system that does not inspire evangelism, I can't see the Spirit of God in it. That it reduces my passion to win souls. Because you have to get to a point that your discernment has to exceed your excitement. You have to get to that point. You see, excitement, we are human beings. We get excited, right? We really get excited. But you see, you have to grow up to discernment when you can know the difference. So I said, number one, the moment I see that, and that also should go to relationships, that I just discovered that I'm no longer as passionate to win souls, there's something wrong with that knowledge system. Because it's too core. You know, there's something called inspiration. You must know. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's something that inspires. 1 John 4:1 says, believe not every spirit. That means, and he was talking about utterances and statements. That means that a lot of statements have spirits behind them. So I know that, look, I said number one. I said number two. If that belief system doesn't make me love other believers, even those that don't agree with what I believe, if I even love other human beings, but let's just say believers, I said I begin to fault it. It's too core in the doctrine of scriptures. They ask Jesus, is there, what is that, the greatest command of the law? He says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your might, mind and soul. He said, and thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Then he added something. He said, this is the first and great commandment. He said, the second is like the first one. So, which means, it is inherent in anything inspired of God to inspire the love work. I said the third thing. Any belief system that downplays the supernatural, the miraculous, I run far away. It's too fundamental to lose. Then the elderly man, he said, that is quite a smart principle. I said, there's a fourth one I added maybe last 7, 6, 8 years. I said, if it doesn't inspire commitment, submission, accountability, honor to the local assembly, it can't be God's word. It can't be. No matter how beautifully crafted it is. Commitment, submission, accountability to the local church, it can't be God's word. It can't be. It can't be. And so you see, and this is for many of us who have different, particularly giftings to sing. I know today you have a lot of people who are, and they are blessing us, no doubt. I'll share something about that in this meeting. There are some things I will share with you. And I trust God that you handle it in Jesus' name. You know, and you think, oh, this person is singing and they don't have commitments to local assembly. That is not God's plan, no. There was one of us here who was called and said, you know, they are calling me to come and sing, record songs and play it. And I called the person and said, come, let me. This was almost 10 years ago. Remember that. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, this gift of singing, who are you modeling after? You have to know. Are you using it for yourself? So you'll be bothered about, let me put my songs on the label. Let them be able to bring it out on the, what do you call it, Spotify and all that. I said, is that what it's about? Then this is your path. But if you want songs that the content will be the doctrine of scripture, stay in your church. So that every service builds content for the songs. Is it for fame or to glorify Christ? Now the truth about the matter is that even if you seek fame, right, it will bless people if it's the Spirit of God upon your life. But you see, you can bless people with somebody that is not blessing you. Who wants a life like that? You become a signboard. I told the pastor, look, there are two paths. You can decide which one to follow. And do not forget, if you enter into that realm of fame, showbiz, it has a time span. It has a time. You know, today when we talk about some musicians, some of you don't know who we are talking about. Because I don't know that one. This one, because that is how it is with the world. So you choose. So, does it drive commitment to the local church where you are accountable? If the set of beliefs doesn't inspire that, I said, I run away from it. So, there's a, you must have discernment. You should get to a point where it's not excitement that is maintaining your following. It is discernment. You know what is right from what is wrong. Hebrews 5:12. He said, we have many things to say concerning Melchizedek, but you are dull of hearing. He says, for the time when you ought to be teachers, you need that one teach you again, that which means the first principles of the oracles of God, or oracles of Christ. He said, you have need of milk and not of strong meat. He said, strong meat belongeth to, you are unskilled with the word of righteousness, you are a babe. Say, but strong meat belongeth to them who are mature, who by the reason of use have exercised their senses to discern between good and evil. Sometimes people are just excited. That's all. Some people, the reason why they will go to a church, they like a particular teaching. There was a guy, I was warning the fellow, you know, every question he will ask me is about eternal security of salvation. Every question. Hey, what about this one? What about this scripture? I said, is it that your entire Christian faith is built on this truth? I said, but there's a danger here. I said, if everything about your serving God rises and falls on this, it will fall one day. I have people like that. That is, they have this truth that they are holding dear to. So if I, what it now hinders them from hearing other things? That's worshipping, like you are worshipping a passion, an excitement. No. So therefore, you must go beyond excitement. Excitement. When there was the noise of grace, I told someone, I said, don't worry. This one, you are all shouting. I said, we have believed this before your shout came. When you are all gone, we'll still believe what we have believed. Ah, he said, someone said, this one. He says, ah, he said, this one is Christ-centered. It's grace. Then you have people put on Facebook. Do you know any church who has an idea of a church in Nasaba that's Christocentric? Very, very funny attitude. Ridiculous. Do you know any word Christocentric church in hell? Nonsense. What's wrong with you? Who gave you the audacity to tag churches? What do you know? Tagging churches, giving them brand name and NAFDAC number. Give me a church where I now asked one guy, I said, what is a Christocentric church? He said, ah, you know, sir, they have the message. What's the message? He said, the message, sir, the message. What is the message? Jesus Christ. So, anywhere I go, they say, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. He said, no, they are able to teach from the body of scripture of Jesus Christ. I said, see your mouth. Go on. Go on, sit down. All you know is cliche. Slang.
Christocentric word. Sound doctrine. Just slang. It's only slang you know. If you say, come and explain it, he will begin to stutter. Slang, slang, slang. The depth of it is not even seen in your life. He says, you come and pray after 4 hours. You drank a whole bucket. Crystal electric. Water centric. A whole bucket. Crystal centric. As he said, are we? The fullness of Christ is in me. Is it water that is the fullness? 1 hour of prayer. 3 sachets of pure water. You didn't know when you even took the sachet. Let me tag in the Christocentric church. This one just sound. What sound doctrine? That's it. Sound doctrine is any doctrine that says what? So you should go beyond that level. You should not tailor guide the Bible to suit what you want. You guide the interpretation. So it gets to the arrival point. I was talking to Pastor Tokes 3 years ago. We were talking about some people say the Bible must be read in light of redemption. If you don't listen to what they are talking about, it's not the redemption you are talking about. They understand the redemption they are saying. So you don't get excited. That's why over the years, you've observed me, I've said it. I say, I have no specialization. I'll teach all of God's word, all of all scripture. Anything that is there, we interpret it. Simple. Simple. That's what some people say. This guy is a law preacher. This guy has a grace preacher. Fine. Some will say, he's a licensed. Fine. Some will say, this guy, doesn't matter. I like that because it means I'm an all-rounder. This one say, is this one? This one. So, different shades to different people. I don't think. Doesn't matter. All the excitement is for kids. It's for babies. It's for babies. Some people can't stay in a church for 2 years, sir. 2 years. And we have parents who have been in the same church 20, 30 years. He said they don't know the word. You don't know the word. That's the fruit of your own word. Jumping all over the place like mosquito. Come off it. It's a lack of persuasion. Call it his name. So I will say, my pastor is the greatest pastor in the world until there's a problem. You know that rule, they just use the pastor. They use, is to use the person. When there becomes a conflict between what they want to do and what the pastor is saying, the pastor will say, you need to change, you need to change. You need to give partner. The beat will change straight away. Well, it's not about any man. It's not about any man. It's all about Jesus. That's it. Excited. And this 2-3 years. No persuasion on anything. On anything at all. We have people who don't know a third of what you know. The same church, following the same truth, staying with it, practicing it. 20, 30, 40. If they have a problem, they know what they do. They go and pray. They go and fast. They go and take the word. They know the same thing they've been doing. You don't know. But they are so consistent. The characteristic of scripture, the characteristic of God and God's word. So go beyond excitement. Beyond excitement. Don't be given to vogues. Matthew 9. My text tonight into the morning. Matthew 9. I want to share with us this tonight. Just, we'll continue from it tomorrow. The burden of the Lord. What did I call it? The burden. Some people don't like the word burden. Because they have been taught. When you come, the reason why some people embrace the grace message, they think the grace message is for irresponsible believers. Oh, privileges without responsibility. Privileges. And many believers are not different from politicians or political office holders, better still, some or many, many, who use the privileges not to exercise, because the privilege, they allow them to use government office, to use private cars, they allow them to take holidays at the state's expense, the governors or presidents, they give them immunity from prosecution. It is not to use it for yourself. It's a privilege. For what purpose? A guy told me a story about one minister. Every time he's going to the Aso Villa, he would, you know, he would walk in, he would greet anybody at the door. Minister, hey, hey, hey. So, he would just say, he would greet anybody, you know, and there's this special gate, he enters to see the president then. He would just go and, hey, 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 hey. And he's very rude. So, and that particular president, they normally announce sack in the newspapers. So they announced his sack in the news. So he heard it like you and I. I'm sure we even heard it first. So he was going back to the same place. Of course, he didn't have access card. So he said, he not knew how to greet. How are you, sir? They didn't look at him at all. Know that that was a privilege. The privilege is for responsibility. People think that ministry, they call you Pastor Shehu, Pastor Ayo. And so people are, it is not, it is a privilege given to you not to exercise dominion over anyone. It is to be responsible, to carry out your responsibility effectively. It's not for pride. How would they even know the service of God? Someone was telling me this, that in their church, they went for the camp in the evening, Friday evening. So the pastor, the general overseer, you know who I'm talking about, announced and said, he's suspending all the pastors for that weekend. So all the pastors, actually pastors on suspension. So those who would take over the people, you know, down the ladder in protocol order. So everybody went Saturday, they showed up on the Sunday. So there was this guy. He was now the minister after that pecking order. As he got up, he just stood up as if he was ready. This is a guy that was there. Good morning, oh, good day. Ah, good morning, sir. Ah, thank you, sir. Just got up and said, praise the Lord. He just knew on Friday or Saturday. He said, in this new regime, and that pastor was seated. He said, in this new regime, nobody must come. I hope you hear what I'm saying. In this new regime, unknown to him, the general overseer had changed the order. So as he was yet speaking, they said, Bros. All that happened is that his true character was revealed. Some people go even dealing with him now and then. Does he have money yet? Some people ordinary interview. Interview. They'll come to church. They'll be carrying shoulder. Interview. On an internet TV. The president gave you an award. So if you cannot walk on the floor again because the president gave you, where should the president be? You got first class. So what should the professor be doing? And the guy said, in this new regime, and the pastor who had pastored him for years was seated. No, no, no. Sorry, sir. I was just trying to follow the general overseer. Oh, sure. Give some people position. from brethren I raised years ago. Of course, I believe God has changed them. The moment I said, call this person pastor, the first form, caucus of pastors. The Lord knows what I'm talking about. It didn't take a month, a week or two. Say, hello. They now started talking to people that they were all ordinary brethren. Say, please help me get this. This was 24 years ago. Yeah, very few things I've not seen. They will now sit down to be served. This is not the same set of people. And it didn't stop there. He now told me. He said, you know, sir, it's me they told him. They said, you know, we're a team. No. She knows what I'm saying. He said, we're a team. Because, he said, you are like the captain. They told me. I said, you. Your first tongue was Tobia and Sambala. You. Tobia, Sambala. Tobia, Sambala. Tobia, Sambala. You. Do you know what? Then pastor, I was the one, no? Say, we are a team. You know why they say so? Because that's how I explain the work of ministry. Say, we're a team working together. Say, like you normally say, we are a team. So, rather than call me pastor, they call me captain. El Capito. My eyes have seen. I'm talking about people I got saved. From, so-called from Islam. I'm not talking. I said, that I was jumping fence to come and do follow-up for you. That I had to dress like a woman to come. You! Yes! I dressed like a woman! Because the father said, Elijah is Baba Adini. He said, where is that brother Emmanuel? That's how I dressed like a woman. I said, you! You are saying we're a team. It's me that can say we're a team. Of course, they've grown up now. I'm sure if they're here, they'll just be laughing at themselves. You don't even know them anyway. So, we all must know that with privileges come responsibilities. That's why I'm always wondering when people are ordained to ministry and they are doing party. They are not doing party. Congratulations for what? They ordained you to be a pastor. Who is congratulating you? I congratulate you. Wow! Is he MD? Wow! Wow! Wow what? And they will now start killing turkey. Chicken. For call to the ministry. Why not take my wine? So we know it's... Let's just scatter the whole thing. They ministered to the Lord and fasted. You, His Daniel is ministering to you and you are chopping. So there is responsibility to the privilege. Brother so so and so, pastor, my leader, it is not an advantage over anybody. It is a privilege that comes with responsibility. Hear me, all leaders. You will give account of all the privilege God gave you that belong to Him. You give account of it. Did you use it for the flesh? Did you use it for fame? Did you use it to manipulate people? Did you use it for sex? Did you use it for fame, position? Or you used it to glorify Christ? Matthew 9. Are you there? Matthew 9. Verse 36. I'll focus on this more tomorrow or after. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, the fainting here cannot be sickness and disease, because the previous verse showed us that he had gone round the cities and villages and he had cast out demons and healed the sick. So the fainting here is more of a position of confusion. There was no one leading them. So Matthew says they were as sheep having no shepherd. So the compassion he had on them here was not about a physical ailment. It was a compassion over their spiritual status. Sheep having no shepherd. Anybody you know who has no one over his or her life spiritually deserves your compassion. You should pity the person. He had compassion because they had no pastor. Is that correct? Such people deserve your compassion. No local church, no pastor, deserves your compassion. That's why he had compassion on them. We'll focus on this later on. The next verse. Verse 37. Then he said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of harvest, the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his own harvest. I love the way the Amplified Version captured it. When I first saw it years ago in the middle 90s, because that was when we started reading the Amplified, and I saw the word, the way the Amplified said it, I was very surprised. I said, and so I had to do some studies in the word. And the word is ekbalo. E-K-B-A-L-L-O. It means to cast out. It means to force out. To throw out. To eject. To expel. So which means that there, when we pray, there are people today who should be involved in the work of the ministry, but they are not. They are substituted for something else. When we pray, we will make their present circumstances uncomfortable for them. It's not every prayer you pray that makes people comfortable. There are some prayers that you will pray and people will lose their peace. Earthly peace, I mean. And you will pray for people, sir, and they will just become sad. And it's the Spirit of God. They will just become uncomfortable. May your prayers have such effect on people. May your prayers make a backslider lose his peace. Don't become uncomfortable. He will force out laborers. Force them out. Into his harvest. You know, particularly, like I said, those of us who have embraced the grace message, the grace content of the gospel is something I teach every now and then. I'm a strong proponent of the teaching. However, listen, it can become a problem. When something, the grace of God, is just about what you can get, meanwhile it's not. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He didn't stop there. I have labored more abundantly. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. So the grace of God confers responsibility. That's why in our book, Hyper Grace, we purposely titled Hyper Grace. Even though when you read the book, there's nothing, the word hyper is not there at all. Was just to catch the attention. We said the concept of grace must be put contextually. We included it in different aspects of the Christian life, which includes the work of the ministry. God gives you his grace to serve him. So what this is, it's a easy, Matthew 11:30. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. They say easy. So you ask people, say, how is your Christian life? Say, I'm enjoying Christ. I'm enjoying Christ. Explain it. I'm enjoying Christ. How are you enjoying Christ? Say, my yoke is easy. So they think the word easy there means easy. You are writing your 500 level petroleum engineering class, maybe PET 504. And then they give you 1 plus 1, 2, 0 plus 0. Easy. You think that is easy, you say? No. The word easy there means it is fitting, suitable. It has nothing to do with ease. It means it is fitting, suitable. It has absolutely nothing to do with ease. In some instances, I'll give you scriptures very quickly. Luke 5:39. The old is better. Luke 6:35. It says he is kind. The word kind to those who are unthankful. That is the word easy. You have Romans 2:4. The goodness of God or the kindness of God leads men to repentance. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind one to another. 1 Peter 2:3. Kindness. For precisely, look at 1 Corinthians 15:33. Evil communication corrupts good manners. What good there is where you find the word easy. So my yoke is good. Good for you. Suitable for you. Kind for you. It's not ease. Like easy. 1 plus 1 is 2. No. It means it fits you. So we have to be careful for a message that makes us feel light, loose, lazy, sometimes laid back, sometimes like a dicycle, a message that stops you from labor, from responsibility, a message that doesn't put attention on your conduct and the example that you lead. Cannot be God's word. It will force out laborers. Why do they need to be forced? Because when they got born again, they told them they had to be called to the ministry. When they got born again, they were told they had to go to seminary before they are involved in the ministry. So they are busy about other things. Meanwhile, in scripture, the call to salvation is the call to ministry. The kind of doctrine and the content we hear in churches today is why you think you need to hear a voice before you start to do the work of the ministry. I happen to be part of this generation. I'm a very young man. But maybe earlier part of this generation. I know of a shorty that for many of us, we cannot pinpoint when we were called to ministry because as soon as we got born again, ministry was introduced to us. I preached the gospel to lead someone to Christ a few hours after I got born again. Just about last week, to the glory of God, was 30 years precisely when I organized my first convention, Believers World Convention, December 11, 1992, was the first meeting I organized. So usually I say that is when I formally, but that was not when I formally, that was when I started doing meetings. I cannot place when the work of the ministry started because it came with salvation. The week I got started attending ministers' meeting, I was in secondary school. I started doing outreaches in secondary school. I started being told that as a minister of the gospel, my life has to be exemplary from secondary school. So there was no time. I wasn't. The call to ministry is to just formalize it. Just like Paul. He got born again. Immediately, he began to preach. Immediately. That is, anyone who hears that has heard the right doctrine. If you were not told in the doctrine you heard that you have been called to ministry, you did not hear the whole truth. So this is why the laborers are few, even though they have a suspension. So we have to pray to force out laborers. Some of them attend services, first service, half of the service, and they go home. Why? Because the content of what they heard did not give them the responsibility to the privilege. How many of you know salvation is a privilege? Raise your hands. Being born again, receiving the Holy Ghost. So with the privilege will come what? Responsibility. We didn't know. I'm not into that one. I'm not in. Who told you you have an option? We'll get to that in a moment. Who told you you have an option? You don't. It's not tick the boxes. No. There's only one box to tick. So we pray the Lord of Harvest to force out. To force out. So what did Jesus do? He sent those who were with him. That means that in Mark 3:14, he called them to be with him to preach the gospel. If you are with him, you are called to preach the gospel. So we want to look at the burden of the Lord. The yoke upon us is the yoke of a disciple. The word zugos there is the yoke. And what is the yoke of a disciple? It is his relationship with his teacher. Such that his teacher replicates his conduct, his passion, his ministry in his disciple. If you read the four gospels, what else will be Jesus' yoke? It can't be his hairdo. It can't be the club he supports, though I know that one. He can't be the car he drives. It has to be the reason why he came. So if you are a true disciple of Christ and you are yoked with him, yoked, that means you are tied with him, which means you are tied to his passion, you are tied to his purpose, you are tied to his pursuit. So the easy part, bad English or translation, is that you are fitted to be his disciple. See, I'm fitted and suitable to be his disciple. The burden of the Lord. In Jeremiah 23, for the sake of time, I won't go into details there. And verse 33. Jeremiah 23, verse 33. And when these people or the prophet or the priest shall ask thee, saying, what is the burden of the Lord? Thou shalt say to them, what burden? I will even forsake you, said the Lord. What is the burden? The word burden there, used 65 times in the Hebrew, is the word masah. It means load. Some versions will have it as oracle. Load. Responsibility. A responsibility. We'll explore it later. It involves receiving the word of the Lord and showing others. We'll see that later. The burden of the Lord is actually the word of God. So the word of God that you hear is a burden. Is a load. Is a responsibility. When you hear God's word, oh, glory, hallelujah, yay! That's where that one ends. It becomes a burden on you. A burden that you have to discharge and do it effectively. Now let's quickly go to 1 Corinthians 9. Say with me, the word of God is burden to me. A burden, a responsibility. So as it comes with its privileges, it comes with the body. The body. Don't forget what we said earlier. Why do we need to pray for folks to be forced out? Because of the kind of things they are hearing today. They are hearing things like, not all men the preaching is not, it's not everybody that will preach. Nobody, we don't all have a pulpit ministry. It's about the marketplace. It's about, you can be an apostle in the marketplace. I saw someone, he said he is, that he has the Bitcoin anointing. And the way they sound, if you look at Bitcoin anointing, if you follow the on-tone of Bible language, let me leave you. Bitcoin anointing. Such weirdness. What do you mean by that? Well, what God is saying to us, he's calling some men to keep quiet. Don't talk nonsense. The body of the Lord. That's why we are praying people to, he forces them. There are some people so comfortable. You know, I met one fellow. He said, you know, he had just come back from America. He said, you know, I was made so and so. He said, I'm in a Fortune 500 company. I said, are you done? I said, when we were praying and doing 24 hour prayer chain, was that what you were telling us? He said, yeah, I know. He said, you know what I just think is that, you see, this is what he said. He said, I don't want my thing to be divided, so I want to focus on this first. When I'm settled here, I know I will have peace of mind to serve God. I told him in Yoruba, I'll say it in English. No, it's the truth. It will never end. This is what, and this was years back, I said it will never end. This is what you are going to be saying for the rest of your life. It's even an insult. And you want to focus on this first. Did you not read Luke 9? He said, look, if that puts his hand on the plow and looks back, he's not fit. If other people qualify you, you are disqualified. You are just an Eliab who was forced, the oil was forced on your head. So look at you. The guy said he wants to go and tell his parents. Jesus said, if you look back, finish. One said, my father is dead, let me go and bury him. He said, if you go, that's the end. And what is this fellow saying? He has a job. He's comfortable. Even if you're an octopus, with 6 cars, you are okay. Right? You have a car, 2, 3 cars. Right? You have a house that you are living in. Not a tent. Not a tabernacle. That Abraham lived in, the father of faith. You have all that one. Things that your mates, most of your mates do not even have. You have it and you are still looking for more. Satan has you. Don't let anybody preach any message to you. God does no dichotomy. He will never share his glory with anybody. If you put him on the pedestal with anybody, game over. You're done. If you place him on the same pedestal, anything, you're done. You will just be useless to him but useful to men. Don't bother. See, don't let anybody share anything with you. He will never share his glory with anyone. He must not be on the pedestal with anyone. Not on your heart. Not in your life. 1 Corinthians 9. Are you there? Look at verse 16. We're looking at the burden of the Lord. Rather, there's some people taking the word of God as a burden from the Lord. They think he's their pastor, burdening their life. Someone is there asking you to go and pray, to go and preach, to study God's word. You see the phone person calling you. You say, oh! See, you are talking to God. You are talking to God because God uses men. You are talking to God. It is God you are talking to. That grumbling. Go and read the Exodus story. They will murmur to Moses. I said they murmur to the Lord. Look at the World Cup. People will watch. There was a time they will play 3 games a day. 3. 90 minutes. And the injury time of this particular World Cup, 10 minutes, 14 minutes. I've never seen it before. Particularly when a particular country is playing. 14 minutes, 16 minutes. Who goes to another game now? And people will watch everything. The highlights. They will wait for the next game. And 3 games. That's 90 minutes times 3. 270 minutes plus the injury time I mentioned. And another 60 minutes. How many hours is that? And you sit there. Then somebody says you should go and pray. Say, oh! You don't say, DSTV, oh! Superstore, oh! Why are we having many games? In fact, when there was now a break, I think from the first round of games to the second, I was going to say, So we are not playing until three days. What are we now going to be doing, eh? Somebody put on Facebook, what are we going to be doing? You know? And then prayer, study. It's God you are talking to. God. So if you want to make, I know when I said that the men are the only ones concerned. You want to go and do your hair. At least some of you are just wearing things now. Just wear it. Pretending. Paralogizomai. You sit down. And you are weaving the thing. Weaving the thing. 2 hours. 3 hours. 4 hours. 5 hours. 6 hours. And you don't say, The person will say, you didn't do this place well. You start again. 2 hours. 2 hours of prayer. When is pastor coming to collect the mic? I know that prayer. After many years, I know all the different flows. Living the air. Some of you do it every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks, haircut. Every 2 weeks. Some of you will keep beards that require to be trimmed every three days. Every 3 days. And you think you're not worshiping an idol? Every 3 days. And you put on the alarm. For prayer chain, you put it off yourself. Oh. You set the thing yourself. You put it off. That means you removed your name personally from the book of life yourself. So, it's not that the Lord has not saved you forever. But you removed your name. You say, my name is not there. I said, you took it out. And you watch the game. You do this one. So come and pray. So I do that church. They stress you too much in that church. They stress you. Say what they say. They say this one. They look at it. They say, where are your disciples? Must I come with disciple? So they feel that you are the one. Some people don't have any relationship with Jesus at all. Because if you know Jesus, you will know He is the one talking to you. You will know. Someone say, bro, bola. Why are you dying your hair? Say, I just felt, bro, Bola! What's your Christian life? It's a legalistic church. It's a legalistic church. It's a legalistic church. Bro, Bola! Watch it! See, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't stop me from flowing with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't stop me from leading to the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, come, let's go and do evangelism. Go and watch people like that. Go and watch it. Years ago, I was pastor at church. So I saw the guy leading worship. When I saw him, I said, this one cannot pray. So, but if I removed him because of what he did that day, as they will say, I'm legalistic. So I said, choir, I pray on Saturday, 7 to 7. I knew he would not come. Never! I got a person can come and pray. He didn't come. So I changed the entire music team. Nobody got, I said, you cannot pray, you cannot sing. I didn't say, if you didn't wear a ring or do weave, I didn't have to say that. I know nobody can be prayerful. The next thing on his mind is dying his hair. You had prayed and fasted for days. Then the Holy Ghost said, dye your hair. To show my glory in this day and time and season, you will dye your hair. That can be. It is what it is. You just say, you not go and put even the one in your ear. The two ear. Right? You even forget to put it, you now want to put it on your nose. See, does it really matter? Does it matter, you know? Does it matter, you know, the most important thing is that we're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Are you sure this is a temple? The temple that you have, you have removed the cement, you removed the paint. What temple is remaining? Temple is gone. Are you here? You can't pray and that's the next thing on your mind. No. You can't. Paul was asking me years ago, say, is this thing wrong? I said, come, let me tell you what you're going to do. You fast. And I told her number of hours to pray. I said, when you are done, pick it again. Let's see whether I can walk. If it works, you're not born again. She said, I just could not. I said, you can't. Because you've just been in fellowship with the Father of Spirits. You can't. Are you here? So it is not Pastor Wallet that is putting burden on you. It is God that put burden on you. Don't make anybody feel they are being hard on you. I'm not asking pastors to be harsh and unruly and unexemplary. That's what I'm talking about here. But when you have a local church, a pastor, who put you through proper spiritual discipline? That is Jesus. That's Jesus. Walking through unto your life. 1 Corinthians 9, are you there? Verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. I have nothing to glory of. Start to boast. I used to teach 1,000 people, now I teach 5,000 people. I used to do this one. What are you boasting over? A work that you were given the Spirit to be able to do. There is no boasting at all. None! I like something Pastor Tunde Ayeni, Pastor of Graceville, Abuja said one day, I went to visit him with my late friend, Pastor Rotimi, 2012 or 2011. And he said this very lovely statement. It was just in his office. I use that statement all the time. He said, what is really different between us and unbelievers? He was talking about pastors. And us and our flock. He said, if they remove that spirit, the spirit say we are done. What are you boasting about? You have the spirit, that's all. A gift. When you, the resident of the gift, is prouding. Not prouding? The Greek word for prouding. What should the giver now do? Say, I'm a recipient of the mercies of God. Nothing to glory. Nothing to glory in.
There is nothing to glory. Nothing. Nothing
to glory.
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, I thought 8 hours. Welcome. Some people, because they want to teach long hours, they'll start saying rubbish. The Greek word is otitology. Ototomio.
Because what must you force yourself? Because you want to preach long hours, you now begin to preach nonsense. Rubbish. Not like that. He wanted to give one revelation. He said, we are in the room. He said, I just saw something. I said, what did you see? I saw something. I said, what did you see? You know, I wanted to go. My dear friend, Pastor Larry Abuso said, emoji, let's hear him. He said, you know, as I was studying, he said, God is a spirit.
Yes.
I am a spirit.
Yes. No, glory, glory.
We were just three, I was saying glory, glory. So there are people like that, they are praying, and they say, whoo, hallelujah, in prayer. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. And you know, and he said, the Lord said to me, Pastor Shego. Lord, the same pastor. You know, you are finished. If God has to call you pastor, you are done. God using title to call you, you are finished. You are no more. Your creator has given you title. God said, Pastor. It's all right. So, the brother said, you know, he said, you know, God is my spirit. I said, uh-huh. He said, the Bible says, the spirit, by his spirit, he created the world. I said, uh-huh. This was in 1995. He said, therefore, by me, God created the world. I said, you are mad. I said more than that. I can't repeat what I said. You. In 826 said that, or you. That you squat. Because when men live in that, you squat. He created the earth by you and you are squatting in this room. He was squatting, you know, and he created the world. Even if they are deceiving you, must you deceive yourself? By you. Someone say, I am immortal. But why do you say immortal? Then there is immortal after Ikorodu. Immortal. You can't be immortal. How? You know, because you are competing. Because people are competing for nothing. You begin to say nonsense. Absolute rubbish. Someone woke up one morning and said, Jesus is not God. So what is he? He's the Son of God. Who told you? He said, look at the scripture. He's not God, he's the Son of God. And so, you just want to say something so that your followers will be unique. Followers that believe that Jesus is not God. Are you mad? Eh? Because your madness sometimes, you will not know you're mad. You move from Jesus is God to Jesus is not God. You know, that is terrible. You move from Jesus is God to Jesus is not God. You moved. That's not growth. That's madness. What did he do to you? Did he offend you? Or you felt he does not deserve the worship as God. Oh boy, you are just son of God. Leave matter. Madness. Just to compete. Someone can we share? What? That Jesus is not God. I said, oh boy, don't deceive yourself. Tomorrow morning, go and get a good bag. There's some watchtower that are free. Put it inside and go and knock gate. You are now Jehovah's Witness. He said, no, let's, I said, no, there's nothing we are sharing.
In fact, I only tell you are Muslim. Because those ones don't believe the son part. Yeah, that's even better.
He said, no, sir. I'm just, is he wrong? I said, I'm not arguing with you. I just told you what to be doing. To make this doctrine effective, get a bag. Go and get watchtower. Put it inside. Right? And there's a way you must dress because your shirt must have gator. You know gator. So you are complete Jehovah's Witness. Think we have time to be me and you be arguing. You see, God is not God. I know you know he's God. You're just a fool. Which is something that we say, conk, being conk. That guy is so conk. Rubbish. So, the word of God is a body on you. So Paul says, if I preach the gospel, he says there's nothing to glory about. There's nothing I am excited over. But look at what he says afterwards. He says, for necessity. Such a necessity. Necessity. That word necessity in the Greek is used 18 times. It's used for what is needful. In Luke 21:23, it's what will give you discomfort. In 1 Corinthians 7:37, what will constrain you? The words used here are forceful. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 4, it's used for hardship. So which means that the work of the ministry is compulsory. What did I call it? It's compulsory. For as many of us who went through the university, a college of education and polytechnics, we had compulsory courses. Whether you like it or not. It is compulsory. Anybody who is telling you that you're born again, you can choose. Of course you can choose. Just the same way you can sing. It doesn't mean that living right is not compulsory. But you can choose not to do what is compulsory. You can choose not to go for exam. You can choose not to. I'm not going for this exam. And you just go. Go. You can choose not to write the exam. You can say, I don't like the course. You can even move it till next semester. You can move it till next year. You can even withdraw from the course. But you will not dictate for them when they give you zero. It is compulsory. Paul says it is compulsory. Necessity. Which means it will not be comfortable. It is compulsory. You have a girlfriend, boyfriend. You are projecting, proposing to marry each other. This should be compulsory. Do you hear what I'm saying? Before you come tomorrow and begin to speak in tongues. Some believers ask, you'll be ashamed to call yourself their pastor. What is this? Compulsory. Compulsory. I've not said you go and get one guy, it's not a serious case, and you know before I marry you have to preach. Let's go. Oh yeah, go and get someone told me, say, I don't want any fervent woman. I just want a cute, fine lady to marry. See, that's all. Say, I don't want any fervent, just moderate Christian, not just moderate, fine babe. I said, your old man did not die. He's in ICU. Your old man did not die. This one is still alive.
Because this is something you will have thought about before you got born again. He's still there. Your old man is still breathing. He's not crucified with Christ. So, you know there were different crosses that day. It's possible you went to the thief on the left hand. I was crucified with him. Necessity is laid upon me. The word there. Hebrews 7:27 is used for the office of the priest. Hebrews 9:16, necessity of the death of the testator. Hebrews 9:23, it was imposed upon them to die on reformation. Jude 3, Philemon 14, 1 Thessalonians 3:7. These words carry a forceful effect. Are you here? When you hear things like this, you must become uncomfortable immediately. That is the Spirit of God. Immediately. They are talking about prayer. Ah! They are feeling uncomfortable. That's the Spirit of God. They are talking about winning souls, giving, being committed to the local church. That is the Spirit of God. Necessity. It is not choose one. It is not an option in the list. Necessity. It's not either or, prayer or evangelism. It's prayer and evangelism. It's not personal holiness or evangelism. It's personal holiness and evangelism. It's not living right and studying God's word. Or studying God's word. It's living right and studying God's word. Are you here? Let me read some versions of that word. In the CSB translation, the NIV translation, the Next Bible, and the NLT, it says, I am compelled. In the New American Standard Bible, it says, I am under compulsion. In the Amplified Version, the Berean Bible, and the Allman translation, it says, I am obligated. This word is similar to paying your taxes. In fact, in Romans 13, Paul, using verse 2 and 3, you are obligated to be under authority. Obligated. You know, they say, well, particularly if you are in Western nations, they say, ah, your taxes are due a social and so period, maybe IRS in America. So, and you say, well, what if I choose not to do it? And they say, we'll come and see when. What if I can decide that I will not pay my taxes? He said, yes, you can decide not to pay your taxes. This is your choice. But you cannot decide the consequences. So you can walk out of this meeting. I know you will never do it because I believe the faith of God is working in you. But anyone can come in here and I walk and say, this is extreme teaching. You have a choice. But wait, you will not determine the consequences. I've showed you from God's word. It's clear. You are compelled. Paul says, I am compelled. I am under obligation to preach. Look at what he now says. He says, it is laid upon me. I checked the word laid. Epikenai. Or epikenai, sorry. Epikenai. It means to be imposed on you. To be imposed on you. To be pressed upon you. The Good News translation says, I am under orders to preach the gospel. Look at the concluding part. 1 Corinthians 9. Are you there? Are you in church? Alright, good. 1 Corinthians 9. He says, necessity is laid upon me. Is God forcing me to preach the gospel? Yes! Is it compulsory? Let me hear you.
Is it compulsory to be committed to the preaching of the gospel? It is compulsory. It's compulsory to pray always. It's compulsory to attend prayer meetings and pray for many hours. It is compulsory. It is compulsory to give. Never see God's instructions as optional. That is, it is the highest sense of dishonor and disrespect. It is compulsory. It is compulsory. Look at how he finishes it. He says, woe unto me. Let me read a version for you. The contemporary English version says, if I don't do it, I am doomed. The ISV says, how terrible will be my life. Because the word woe is used 47 times, New Testament Greek, 21 times in the four Gospels and 26 times in the book of Acts and the Epistles. It means, I will grieve, I am at a loss. Woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Paul is saying, I will be miserable. My life will be miserable. He says, I am doomed. Because the word woe is often used by Jesus for doom. Damnation. Woe. So, don't see it as your pastors, your leaders, or any preacher. Mm-mm. If it sounds like that on their lips, it's because it's the Spirit of God working. Now take 1 minute and pray for yourself. That you will not see this as man talking to you. Anytime you hear things like this, your heart is tender enough not to misinterpret it. Pray for yourself. Whether it's about prayer, commitment, living right, being, giving good conduct as a believer, giving, being committed, being accountable. Pray for yourself. It's compulsory. Let it dawn on you this morning. It is compulsory. It is compulsory. I am under obligation. I am compelled by God. It is compulsory. Married, unmarried, kids, no kids, rich, poor, old, young, male, female. It is compulsory. Sit down. Begin to close from here. Says, woe unto me. And that word, woe, is often used for those who are doomed. Those who are done for. So when you see believers who are not engaged in the work of the ministry, the preaching of the word, they are doomed. I read God's word to you. They ignore it. They postpone it. They suspend it. Their lives are terrible. Don't! Anything they own means nothing. I shared something on Facebook last night. That there is no joy comparable to seeing someone receive Christ. And I put it there. If you have not seen this joy this year, anything you have done in 2022 is a waste. If you are a believer. Now, look at the next verse from where I close. Why do you think you came here to pray for the nations? To pray for other people's churches, countries you may never visit for the rest of your life. Because it is compulsory. Is it compulsory?
It's compulsory. It's compulsory, I pray, right? Pray for my pastor. Pray for fellow believers. Pray for all men. Pray for those in authority. It is compulsory. It's compulsory, I give. It's compulsory, I go to church. And I had to talk to some leaders. They were playing with fire. They will fix a meeting for their members. You can say 4 o'clock on Tuesday. So somewhere at work, maybe their boss will now give them an assignment. So they now call the people in the church, in their fellowship, and say, let's move it till Wednesday. I say, you are setting yourself for trouble. If tomorrow they lay hands on you and nothing is working, that is what you did. Don't toy with things like that. You stick to that form or let somebody take the meeting. You now say, let it, you are doing it at your own convenience. What do you think you are doing? They just lay hands on you. You fall under the power. You hear glory. And nothing will happen till you fix that. It is compulsory. It is compulsory. Now, of course, you can change your meeting day when you find out that many of the people that should be in the meeting will not be available. But it's not you. Is they. Then you shift it. So that more of them can. Not because you are. What do you think it is? Some of you can be twisting the way you like a remote control. No! Try it. Don't do things like that. You are not your own master, sir. Is that clear? Even if no one is going to call you to question, there's somebody that is looking at you. May we not make damnable errors. Or ever do it. There are times you may not be available, really. You should have trained somebody, right? Yeah, hold that meeting. Yeah, hold that meeting. If you miss a prayer, maybe you, in your church, you pray every prayer chain. You miss Tuesday. And maybe something happened. Things can happen. You find another day that week to go and pray. Why are you doing that? Because it is. It is what? It is compulsory. It's not an option. See, may we not have pastors like Eli, who will pamper you till you are destroyed. His sons were supposed to stand in the office of priests, they could not. He fulfilled it. The bad part about it is that the person pampering you will fulfill God's call, but you will not. You mean Eli? Eli didn't do anything, no. His sin, he couldn't pass his legacy across. Now, I remember my mother, when she would raise us those days, and she has a very interesting backhand. When she gives you, your brain will reset. Whatever devil, there's a casting out of devils, that when a slap enters, the demon will leave for a nearest peak. No! You just say, I'm sorry. She'll see. I will never be ill. I didn't understand it. It is actually a pastor's responsibility. Because you have to give account. Hebrews 13:17. Of the souls of people, you are pampering them because they are giving to your ministry. Because I told someone, I said, see, I know you give. I said, but you know something? You will live a miserable life. Who will collect your money? If you give, I will collect it. But I will tell you. You have missed God though, but the money has not missed road. You have missed God. Prayer meeting, it did not come. He said, it did not come. He said, it did not come. You will, this money is not doing anything. It is not, you cannot buy God's reward. You cannot. You can buy airtime for us. You can buy share. You can buy auditorium for us. But you can't buy reward.
You have to work for it, sir. You have to be sincere. It is come. It's what? Woe unto me, Paul said. Now look at the last part. We close from there. He says, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, it changes nothing. That is, because Jesus comes, you just say, okay, just go come and go out and preach. Okay, sir, let's go out. Oh boy, come and get born again. I don't want this nonsense. Come and get saved. Listen to the word of God. You go say, oh, I don't have time. See, just say after me, Father Lord, amen. Go. He said, whether it's voluntary, if it's voluntary, you have a reward. If you now say, because they say it's compulsory, you are now not willing. He said, it is still woe unto you, sir. Are you here? It says a dispensation, the word oikodomia, an administration. The word Paul will use in Ephesians 1:10, Ephesians 3:2, has been committed to you. It is given to stewards who must be faithful. Look at me, everybody. Whether you accept it or not, God has given you a duty. And may you not be found wanting with excuses. Some of us think that you can deceive an earthly person. But God knows the truth. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. I've made a vow, and I made the vow years ago, called Christian Ibadan. SW, I've forgotten the number now. I said, if I'm the only one left, I'll preach the gospel. And I told myself, I'll have no other life. No other option. No other alternative. Nothing will attract me. Nothing will entice me. There will be nothing else. This was about 31 years ago. At the house of my grand aunt. She's gone with the Lord now. And I stood there. I said, Lord, I'm going to dedicate this for you. For the rest of my life. I know there will be different seasons. Because seasons will change. There will be sometimes you won't be as strong as you are now. There will be times you won't have what you have now. There will be times you will have more. There will be times you will have so many responsibilities. There will be times you will be sad. There will be times you will be happy. There will be times you will be excited. There will be times you are not excited at all. There will be times you will even fall sick. There will be times you will be healthy. But make up your mind what you will be in all those seasons. Are you here? Did you hear from heaven? Did you hear from heaven? Commit that to prayer right now. Lord, I put myself willingly to your order. I compel myself willingly to your compulsion. Pray for yourself. I compel myself. When we set out to pray later in the morning, I am doing it with the whole of my heart. When we set out to hear your word, when we set out to preach your word, when we set, it is compulsory. May I not be doomed. May I not have a terrible life. May I not be miserable. My pastor needs not look like a tyrant. No. It's compulsory. For yourself, recommit yourself to your church, to your ministry. Recommit yourself. It is compulsory, sir. It is compulsory, man. There is a yoke on your life. There is a burden of the Lord. You have no option. Anybody telling you have an option is lying to you.
So use your choice well. Determine today. In every season. Today is December 18, 2022. About 1 a.m. Say, today, I say, through all the seasons of my life. All seasons. Good or bad. Rich or not rich. Plenty, lack. Married, unmarried. Raising my kids or they have grown up and, you know, or no kids yet. A job, no job. My business is thriving, it's not thriving. My desires are met, they are not met. It is compulsory. It is compulsory. The burden of the Lord is upon me. The word of God is not just for a privilege. It is a responsibility. Consecrate yourself to what is compulsory. It's not compulsory to be rich. It's not compulsory to marry. It's not compulsory to have children. It's not compulsory to do business. But it is compulsory to serve the Lord. It is compulsory.